Welcome to Equipus Christchurch. Equipus Church is a whole lot of friends championing one another to go higher in Christ. For more details, check out our website at equipuschurch.com/Christchurch.
Thank you. Can we just remain standing? I just want to pray for everyone in the room. There's so much noise out there about the cost of living, and yeah, it's real. But I just got a testimony. My daughter is getting married in July, and she's finishing her psychology degree this year. She had a part-time job, and she was really concerned about the whole financial thing. And so she was standing up for prayer on a Sunday morning. This was about 3 weeks ago. And a 19-year-old came up to her and said, "I just felt the Lord say to me to tell you that you don't need to worry about your finances." And she thought, okay, that's cool. But then she carried on and she said, "God's going to promote you in your job, and he's also going to give you a house." And I'm like, that's a pretty bold word to give someone. So, you know, I said to Michaela, "I'll just shelve it, you know." She told me this on Sunday morning, and so I just shelve it. Anyway, the next day, she gets called in from her job. She's working there part-time. And they said, "We want to promote you." And I'm like, what? That was fast. And so the week after that, she got given a full-time job. And they also said, "We're flexible. We know that you're finishing your psychology degree. So, you know, we can work with that. When you need to do classes, we're happy to do that, but we'll pay you full-time salary." Anyway, within those 3 weeks, they were looking for a house, her and her fiance. And you know, the prices in Auckland are ridiculous. And everyone had said to them, "You'll never get one. Like, you'll never get a house." But who knows when you trust in God. And so, you know, they were looking at different apartments in Auckland in a really good suburb. And the vendors really, really took to Michaela and her fiance, and they said, "We want to give you the apartment." And this happened in 3 weeks. And I was just like, God, who am I to shelve a word like that? Because, you know, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, when someone gives you a word, you go, cool. And here was I just, it's like the boy that had the lunch, you know, fish and bread. But it's amazing what God can do with that. And so I just want to pray for everyone in this room. If you just could close your eyes, I just want to pray for everyone. Lord, I just pray, Father, as we trust in you, God, those things that are top of mind right now, Lord, we hand over our worries, our cares to you. And we thank you, God, that you do look after your people. Your word says that you will never leave the righteous forsaken. You never leave us, God. So I just pray that you would provide where there needs to be, where you need to provide. And God, I pray, Lord, even for finances, where there's been, just a worry there, God, I just pray, show us solutions, show us strategies, but also, Lord, we just pray, God, they would give us a revelation of who you are. You're our provider. You're our source. We can trust in you. We can put our whole trust in you, God. And I just pray for more testimonies like that. Do it again, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. So my name is Kathy. I have 3 daughters. One's getting married this year, July the 4th. Independence Day, how significant is that? But yeah, it's just a new season for us as a family. I'm married to Sam. We've been married for 29 years this year. I know, old, eh? That's a long time. Anyway, but it's just a real privilege and an honor. Thank you, Pastor Jono and Emma. Christchurch is a really significant place for me because my parents met here in Christchurch, so, you know, without the Lord and my parents, I wouldn't be here. So Christchurch is a really significant place for me. But I just, you know, was asking the Lord, what do you want me to share today? And I don't just share any word, you know, like I just bring out a sermon and there you go. But I just really prayed about it. And lately the Lord's been speaking to me through his word about labels. Now, labels are interesting because not all labels are bad, but the labels that people place on you or that you place on others is really important. I remember friends of mine years ago had pranked their friends, and they took all the labels off their cans in their pantry. I know, hey, can't do that these days because that's a waste of money. But they pranked them. This was, many years ago. But they pranked them, and so they didn't know what was in the cans. So they had to open, you know, like they had to kind of, what did we buy? Are those baked beans or is that sardines? You know, it's like, you know, what is it? Labels are good because you need to know what's, you know, what that product is. Or, you know, I like to label things because I forget. You know, what are the spices? You need labels. But I'm talking about the labels that kind of limit us. And so this morning, if you're taking notes, I'm talking about lose the label. I'm going to put my reading glasses on now. 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 17 says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, praise the Lord. A new life has begun." Now, labels can either empower or marginalize. So, you know, labels are good in a sense, like, you know, if you want to join the tennis club, there are people that are like-minded who play tennis, and you want to learn how to play tennis, that's really great. But then there are groups that, you know, you feel isolated, maybe you're of a certain culture, whatever it is, and you don't feel like you're part of that group. And so they can either do that, empower or marginalize. And labels can be limiting. I don't know about you, but in Auckland, where you live is really important. Which school you go to is really important. We have zoning, and they probably do here. But if you mention a school name, you either get a, "Oh, wow, that's so cool," or, "Oh, stink." Or, you know, like, "That's a really dangerous area. I can't believe you live there." Or, "Wow, you must have a lot of money." And there are different responses attached because there's a status or a reputation attached to that label. I know for me, growing up, I grew up in an area called Epsom in Auckland. It's a very astute area. And when I told people, they go, "Oh, do you have money?" I'm like, "No, we just lived in a state house in Epsom." But it's amazing the kind of the first impression that people get of you when you say, "Oh, this is what school, you know, I went here." And, you know, and it changes how people view you. You know, that first scripture is like, we saw Jesus from a human point of view at the beginning. Like, I know, I remember the first time I saw Jesus of Nazareth when I was a child. I wasn't a Christian, but I remember being so angry, like, "Oh, don't crucify him." You know, like, I didn't get it. I didn't know why Jesus was dying on the cross. I thought, those horrible people, they're, you know, putting him to the cross. But those horrible people, that was me, that was my sin. And getting the revelation of that, because I saw it from a human perspective, but now it's like, I am a new creation in Christ. Now, I tell people I'm a follower of Christ, but that has a connotation too. People either think you're a bigot or you're hateful. I know when I was at the gym, one of my personal trainers, he said, "Oh, you're a Christian." Boo. They're like really, you know, they're horrible people. And I was like, okay. So for a few weeks, got to know this person. And afterwards, I said, "Do you still think Christians are horrible?" And he said, no, you're good. And I said, you can't generalize or stereotype a group of people by one person. But also you can make that change. You know, labels are interesting. Bumper stickers on cars. I've seen some cars, you know, like cut and you know, speed. I'm like, wow, they got like, you know, I'm born again. I'm like, yeah, you're going to be seeing the Lord soon, you know, by the way you're driving. But it's amazing the different labels that are attached to what we believe, who we are, but they can be limiting. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of human opinion disables, trusting in God protects you from that. The fear of human opinion. And so there are labels going around. I know, you know, we've been pastoring, my husband and I, for 24 years. And, you know, opinions are like armpits. Some, you know, all of us have armpits, but some of them stink. And so for 24 years, you get different opinions on how to run things. You know, you've got people trying to tell you how to lead a church. And I'm like looking at some of the people and I'm like, okay, have you led a church before? No. Do I tell you how to, you know, imagine me going up to a mechanic and saying, you need to do something with your flux capacitor. Yeah, ridiculous. And that's what it's like when you're leading a church and people are like, well, you know. Well, and I'm going, okay, all right. Now, if you've led a church and you've, you know, like, you've got experience, I will listen to you. It's like parents, they give opinions too. And it's like, did I ask for your opinion? You know, it's like people are like, this is how you should, you like, look after your children. And I remember when we had our first baby, Michaela, and we were new parents, we were very green. It was like, oh, wow, this is really, you know, scary. And I remember as Michaela got older, she was crying in the car, in her car seat. Imagine a baby crying, right? So the baby was crying in the car, and my friend came into the car with me. She had no children, and they were thinking of having kids. And she said to me boldly, when I have kids, they won't cry. And I went, wow, are you going to give birth to mimes? You know, it's like, they're not going to cry. It's natural for babies to cry. And so I went, okay, all right. And it was so funny because 5 years later, they had a baby, cried all the time. Did I remind her and become petty? No, I didn't. I said, oh, well, that's hard, isn't it? But I didn't want to remind her, but she had these opinions before she had children. Okay, this is how you parent until you have kids. And so there are so many opinions going around, even on social media, in media, in our workplace. There's so many opinions, and they can be disabling. I used to be a real huge people pleaser. And as you get older, I don't know about the older people here, but you just don't care anymore. You kind of, which is dangerous, right? Because then there's no filter. Anyway, but I used to really worry about what people thought. And now I'm just like, okay, God, what does your word say about that? And there are some battles that you don't need to fight. There are some battles that I think, you know, looking back, would I go there again? Probably not. But don't let that disable you. It's like you just, oh, what if that person thinks this of me? And, you know, my daughter is organizing her wedding, which is hard because I'm like, do you think you should? I'm like, okay, I should, you know, as her mother. But she said, Mum, like, let us organize it. I'm like, okay. But, you know, a part of me is like going, do you need a food truck? You know, it's like, oh, I'm so traditional. But my daughter said, Mum, let us organize it. And I'm like, okay. But I can't let my opinion stop her from what she wants. I am praying that she'd be open, though, you know, like, yeah, have some openness. But there are different opinions. I remember when we were, you know, first leading the church, and someone said to me, oh, what's it like being a pastor's wife? I said, oh, it's like being a wife. You know, you do wife things and I'm married to a pastor. They go, wow, is it different? I'm like, I don't know what it's like to be a plumber's wife. I don't know what it's like to be, you know. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm a wife. I'm his wife. And, you know, you have opinions like that. I'm like, that's such a silly question. But valid, you know, like, what is it like? It's, yeah. I enjoy it. I love being my husband's wife. But I remember, you know, when we had kids, and my husband's white, I'm Polynesian, and my kids are quite tanned. And one person said to me, oh, so, have you noticed that your daughters are really brown? And I said to, because my sister's married to, he's British, and their kids are very light skin, and I'm like, great. And my kids are really dark, like me. So he was asking the question. It was a genuine question. It wasn't like he was, you know. I thought, do you need to get your eyes checked? Anyway, so I said to him, have you seen me? Have you seen, like, that's me. I'm really dark. And he went, oh, okay. And the funny thing is, this guy was a doctor. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, come on. But I just pray that people would understand, right? So it says in Proverbs 18:2, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their opinions. Now, opinions are cool, but if they're not helpful, I'm like, keep moving. Like, if you're not going to help me, I just think it's really important that all of us understand. I used to be so bolshy when I was younger. Like, I know this, but I didn't really seek to understand where that person was coming from. You know, we can put so many labels on people. We can have these preconceived ideas. And, you know, Jesus got that. Jesus asked a question. He asked his disciples this question in Matthew 16, 13 to 20. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, oh man, stuttering. Anyway, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Now, we know that isn't true. But some say, Jesus, you're, you know, this person or that person. And in our life, people can have these preconceived ideas of you. Well, you know, like, I'll have people say to my daughters, oh, you're just like your mother, or you're just like your father. And then they kind of lose their identity a bit. Like, oh, I'm like my mother, or I'm like my father. And I will say to my daughters, no, you're you. Don't wear those labels, because there's an expectation placed on them, like you have to be a certain way. My daughter Ruby is doing a few papers at Bible college, and because she's a pastor's kid, right, people expect her to be like a concordance. And so she's sitting in class, and they're like, Ruby, what does it say in, you know, Jeremiah, blah, blah, blah? And she's like, I don't know. Why do you think I'm doing this class? And it's like, you know, the labels that people place on others, expecting them to be a certain way. People can label you with unrealistic expectations. And I pray that God would remove that off you this morning. And that's what I see this morning after the sermon. It's like you're going to walk out free in Jesus' name. I remember my grandfather, he was a very strong man, but he would curse his children. Like, he would just say stuff like, this is what's going to happen to you. And one day he said to my auntie, you'll never be satisfied with a man, because he didn't like her boyfriend. And she took in those words. She took in those words and just said, oh, okay, I'm going to believe that. I'll never be satisfied with a man. She had 10 different partners. She left that guy that she really loved. My grandfather didn't like him because he was Catholic. And he said, oh, you're not dating a Catholic guy. And so she moved on, but she was never. And she would say to my mum, I haven't found anyone. She was never satisfied with a guy. And so she had different children to different men. And she, you know, she took in those words. See, when people place labels on you or words, there is life or death in the power of the tongue. And those words, if you're taken in and they land on you and you take them as truth, can damage your future. See, labels are limiting, but they also limit your growth. They can change your future if you box in your world. You say, oh, well, this is how I am. You know, that you're either an extrovert or an introvert. My cousin came to our Easter morning service. He hadn't been to church in a long time. And he's he's fully introvert. So he's like, I don't want to talk to anyone. Like, I'm like, just say hello. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk to anyone. Worst nightmare, I put him in the front row at church. So he was sitting there like, oh my goodness, kill me now. Anyway, Sam's preaching a message and he says, turn to your neighbor. And my cousin's like, oh no, oh no. And I said, well, just as well you're sitting next to me. And I said, come on, just get outside your box. And he said to me, hi, Kathy, I'm turning to my neighbor. Because sometimes we can go, oh, I'm a certain way. You know, this is my personality type, so I'm not gonna grow. It doesn't mean you're gonna be like, oh, I'm, you know, oh yay, I was an introvert. No, no, no. It's just to do something little. Just do something small. You know, my kids are all different. And if I label them like you're just like your sister, that's gonna damage them. They're unique. And I think when you label people, it's like you're not giving them room to change. Because people can hold you hostage to your past. Now, your past is a reference point, but it's not your residence. Some people live in their past. They stay there. They make home in their past. It's like, can God help you grow out of that? Can you grow? Can you change? And that's what labels do. They can limit us and they can stunt our growth. But it's like, can you allow God to change you? I always used to say to myself, I won't be able to swim. I had a fear of the water. I nearly drowned when I was 6 years old. And I kind of put a label on me. I'm not a swimmer. I'm not a swimmer. And I used to say that all the time. I'd make excuses. And I kind of put a stamp. It's like a permanent tattoo. It was like, that was a label. Oh, no, I'm not outdoorsy. Some people aren't. But I was like, that was my label. I just thought, oh, no, that's not me. Anyway, so that was my excuse until the Holy Spirit said, but you can learn how to swim. And I was like, oh, no. I was 34 years old. Can you imagine? It was like the fear of human opinion definitely disabled me in that moment. I thought, I can't learn how to swim. How embarrassing. Can you take me to the swimming pool that's like in another country so I don't see anyone? But God really challenged me. He said, can you just come out of that fear? And I'm like, no, but I'm not a swimmer. And I kept on saying that to myself. And we can, you know, create this narrative because we want to keep that label. I was really comfortable with being, you know, like not swimming. I was comfortable with that. I thought to myself, well, my kids could save me if I was drowning, you know, like that. So those were my thoughts. But can I change? Yes, I can. It was hard. I remember going into the swim school and, you know, signing up for an adult swim class, which was really embarrassing because I was looking around going, oh, man, am I the oldest person here? There were older people there. But you had to pick your swimming tutor. And there was this one young guy, right? Young guy versus old lady, older lady, mature lady. I said, can I have the mature lady, please? All her classes are full. And I was like, oh, embarrassing. I don't want a young person to teach me how to swim anyway. So I did. I had to, you know, get over my embarrassment. But it was like, did I want God to remove that label of fear over my life? That label of excuse that I kept on holding on to? Because it was really comfortable. I actually wore it like a badge. I was like, yeah, I don't know how to swim. I'm cool. But yeah, not when you're going to the beach. Anyway, so I learned how to swim. I did a course. So I know the basics. I'm not Michael Phelps or, you know, a famous swimmer, but I know the basics. And I had to overcome that fear. What are the things that you know that you need to overcome that you've held on like a label, but it's really been an excuse? There are some things that we go, oh, but I'm this way inclined. Oh, I can't do it. I can't grow. You can. Because your old life has gone and you are a new creation. When I was dating Sam, before I was dating Sam, I had a list of what I wanted in a husband. And I wrote a list, Scottish rugby player, tall worship leader, love God with all his heart. It was like a long list, right? You've seen my husband. No here. Anyway, but it was like not a worship leader, but I had a list. And I think Jono was talking before about, you know, when God answers your prayer. Sometimes he answers a yes, but I'm so glad when he doesn't answer. Because that was my list of what I wanted in a husband. I was like, God, I'm adamant. Scottish rugby player. 6 foot tall. Loves the Lord. That was my list. And, you know, I was like, God, what are you doing? Everyone else's prayer is getting answered. I'm like, this is the person I want. But God knew the person I needed. And so I'm so glad he didn't answer all my prayers. And sometimes, you know, there are people here, it's been quiet. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to have that, you know? It's like, that's hard to hear, but God does answer us, and maybe it's not the answer we want, but sometimes it's the answer that we need. So we started dating, and then my husband broke up with me, and my friend, I know, not my husband, my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, he said to me, I don't see you in my future. That was his breakup line. It was good, because I knew. You know when people go, oh, we still can be friends? No, just rip it off like a Band-Aid. He just said, I don't see you in my future, goodbye. And I was like in the car going, Anyway. My really good friends said to me, my best friends at the time, not my friends anymore, they said to me, oh, do you know why he didn't like you? And I went, why? Because you're not blonde. And I went, what? Then they said, oh, you're not his type. And for a while I went, oh, maybe I'm not. Wow. Because he definitely wasn't my type anyway. Not from the list anyway. So I was like, okay. But for a while, I kind of labeled myself as unworthy, not good enough. And my family weren't like a hardcore Christian family. You know, my dad was an angry alcoholic. My mum was my mum. And, you know, I was dating a pastor's son. And so he was a really good guy, good family. And I would compare my family. So I kind of labeled my family as, oh, they're dysfunctional. His family are perfect. You know, that was my label for them. I was like, oh, they've got no room to grow. But my family do. And that's what I thought, and that's a lie. Because sometimes you can think that, like, oh, I come from this side of the, you know, the tracks, and he comes from that side. It's not gonna work. But labels are really interesting. It's like, are you going to live at that place where, oh, this is going to be my life? There's a finality with that. But there isn't. I saw this post, and I was so annoyed. I just get annoyed at some posts, and I know you guys do too. But the post kind of went, you know, Christianity is harmful. And I just want to share my personal testimony. I come from a family that were very dysfunctional. My dad was an angry alcoholic, very violent. But when he found Christ, you know, when I look at those posts saying Christianity is harmful, well, for my family, it broke the cycle of violence. And it really irks me. I get so angry when I see posts like that, because I go, okay, look, this is what Christ has done in my family. My dad was so angry. He was so strong, very violent. He broke my brother's arm, like in anger, when my brother was younger. And, you know, it was just like the discipline was like over the top. I wouldn't call it discipline, it was violence. But when he found Christ, he changed from an angry alcoholic. He had addictions. Can I just tell you that stopped? And when he made that decision to follow Christ, can I tell you Christianity is very good for our family, because that broke cycles. That broke a lot of things in our bloodline. And I thank God for Christ. And so my dad, when he made that decision, I was like, thank you, Lord. That cycle of anger, that cycle of violence, the addictions, that cycle broke. It was like, thank you, Jesus. And so anytime I hear someone go, oh, complain, I'm like, no. I look at my family now, and I thank God for the influence Christ has made in our family. My dad went from angry man to gentleman. He would cry and weep during worship. He was so changed and different. When I read that scripture about the old life going, that was my dad. He was a strong follower of Christ, and he led our family well. My mum didn't give her heart to Jesus 10 years after he passed away. So he didn't even know that my mum gave her heart to the Lord 10 years after. But it was like, man, the change night and day. And the label that was on our family of anger and violence was removed. It didn't come back on, it was removed. As soon as he made that decision, it was removed. And so that's why I'm so passionate about negative labels that are placed on us. They're not a final, permanent tattoo on our lives. You just need to receive Christ. He can change you. And maybe that hasn't been your experience, but can I tell you, if you let him change your life, if you let him change your life. My dad would always quote the scripture in Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in the earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My dad was diagnosed with cancer in 97. In August, he passed away in September. So it was a quick time when he got diagnosed to when he passed away. But he said to me, I just want to make sure that when I go, you're still with Christ. I said, of course, Dad. When he changed, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that my faith was solid, because I've seen God change an angry man. That's my testimony. And so when he was dying, he said, I need to make amends with your brother. Because my brother had so much unforgiveness in his life. He was so angry at my dad. And he said to me, Kathy, you know gentle dad. I know angry dad. And I was like, yeah, I've seen parts of angry dad before. But that was his old life. And he said to me, I don't know if I can forgive him. And we were in the hospital. And dad was lying in his bed. And he said to my brother, do you forgive me? And I remember that moment because I thought, oh. And my brother just turned to him and said, yeah, I forgive you, Dad. And those were the last words my brother said to my dad. And he kind of couldn't handle it. He went out of the room and he just sobbed and sobbed. But I don't want to go back to that kind of old life, that old dysfunctional life. I'm just really thankful that God had broken every cycle in our family. Now, there are moments where, you know, where I can get mad. But when it comes to that, like, anger, I'm glad that God has really broken it off our lives. But I remember I labeled a lot of people after that. I was like, when I was praying, I said to God, I don't know if you can save my mum. She's a hard one. You know, when you're praying, you're like, but I was a hard one too. My dad was praying for me. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, everything changed. But my mother, she was in her 60s. And she came to church. And I remember, like, mum, it was the first time I'd ever seen her, like, soft. She was a really hard woman. And she just said, oh, I just give my full life to Jesus. My mum's 81 now, following Christ. She's working full-time, full of energy. She loves the Lord. But it's like that one decision my dad made. I don't know how you can walk away from God, really, if you haven't had a full transformation. And if you're in this room, I just want every eye closed, every head bowed. Holy Spirit is here. And you've got labels on your family. You've placed labels on yourself. And it's like, oh man, I need God to remove it. I've made too many excuses. Well, people have placed labels on you. And you've kind of like, they've held me hostage to that label. I just want you to stand, if you could be so brave and bold. I'd love to pray with you because I can see God removing those labels this morning. He wants to do that. He wants you to walk out free in Jesus' name. Awesome. Awesome. Just going to give you some more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I just pray, Lord, for everyone standing. Lord, and every label that has been placed on families, on people personally, that they've put on themselves or others have put on them. God, we remove it right now in Jesus' name. We thank you that their identity is in Christ. And Lord, we just speak right now the love of God. We label you accepted, loved, valued in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray for freedom to take place, that those cycles have been broken, that those words, those labels have been cut off, removed in Jesus' name. They're not like a permanent tattoo. God, you're removing it right now. Thank you, Father. And God, I pray that you replace those labels with your word. Your word says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in Jesus' name. So I just speak that over every person. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. We trust in you. And God, we walk out of this place free. Can I just get everyone else to stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And even in this moment, we're going to surrender to God. We're just going to sing this chorus. I find freedom in surrender. And as we worship Him, just surrender those labels, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. We just surrender that to you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Check out our website at equipuschurch.com/Christchurch.